Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad, and with me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, it is great to be back with you again. Are you largely fully recovered from your recent bout?
Oh, man. You know, it's like I've been swimming off in no man's land for the past 2 weeks. But yeah, we're recovering. I finally have a voice back, as you can tell. So I'm excited to be back on the air with you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, having a voice back makes radio that much better. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about, because plenty to talk about, right? The new administration has made sweeping changes to automotive regulations, and they will have very broad effects on the vehicles you can buy and what you will pay for them. We'll have a full analysis of these controversial moves coming up. This, of course, comes on the heels of the Biden administration banning Chinese cars and Chinese auto technology as they went out the door. So a lot going on in the last week here. Chevrolet has announced the recall of its recently introduced Equinox EV, and we'll have details on that. And the widespread fires near Los Angeles, fairly close to my home, actually, have had a devastating effect on the collector car hobby. Stuff is lost forever. It's very, very sad for collector cars, so we'll tell you about that coming up. Chris, ton to talk about, right?
Yeah, there's never a dull moment. I guess I shouldn't have taken so much time off.
Yeah, there you go. Well, America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and, of course, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry. And Chris, you have an interesting car this week. What is it?
I drove the sporty Mercedes-AMG GLC 43 for the 2025 model, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
Such a snazzy guy. Does anybody use the term snazzy anymore beyond me?
Probably no, not. They don't.
Yes. Yes. My test car this week is the 2025 Mazda CX-70 PHEV. It's a plug-in hybrid, and we have a terrific guest for you. Matt McAleer is brand CEO for Dodge, so we're going to talk about what's going on at Dodge. Chris, tons of show. I can't wait to talk to you. It's been too long, and we'll be right back with more on America on the Road, so stay with us, and we'll be right back right here telling you more about what's going on in the auto industry. Stay with us.
Count on Lowe's to lend a hand to prepare, recover, and rebuild during the wildfires. We're part of your neighborhood and want to make sure you have the supplies you need when you need them. Every day, we're here and always ready to help you, your family, and your home. Visit Lowe's in-store or online to get emergency supplies now and learn about relief efforts in your area.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Now at Staples, find hot deals on HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Whether you need to print invoices or eye-catching presentations, HP delivers with exceptional speed, reliability, and vibrant color. And with HP, replenishing ink is simple. Find HP ink cartridges in-store at Staples or subscribe to HP Instant Ink and never worry about running out. And right now with home and office hot deals at Staples, you can save up to $150 on select HP printers through February 1st.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it.
Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you.
But you decide if you pay it in full.
But you definitely should, because again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teagan. We're so glad Chris is back with us. This is Jack Nerad along with him and with you. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. It is news time and tons of auto news, of course. We have a new administration in office these days. And among other things they're doing is some major changes to vehicle regulations and automotive regulations overall. We're seeing new executive orders that are going to have very, very far-reaching effects on the automotive industry. Chris, from a stratospheric view, I mean, what's your overall take? This is going to be a game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. You know, he's been promising radical changes since the beginning of the time with him, but you know, this still feels like whiplash. You know, we've been going in one direction for 4 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. And all of a sudden we're kind of coming back the other way. And, you know, for automakers, you know, they had to have seen some of this stuff coming. So their product cycles are pretty long, but I think it's going to be a bumpy 4 years. And hopefully everybody comes out on the other side with all the pieces still intact.
It's certainly going to be a bumpy few months for car companies and maybe a few years for car companies as they try to adapt to what's going on. I mean, The new executive order that has to do with automotive is called Unleashing American Energy. And what it does is it rescinds a quote-unquote mandate. There was no official mandate for forcing people to purchase EVs, but basically to sell conventional vehicles. Car companies were forced to produce electric vehicles. Now that could go out the window. We might also see Congress rescind the $7,500 tax credit. That is not part of the executive order per se. I don't think that's something that the administration can do on its own. I think that's part of law versus regulation. But a lot of these regulations can be changed by the executive branch. They're from the executive branch. They were not enacted into law to begin with. So we're going to see some changes on greenhouse gas emissions, basically CO2, which is not a pollutant. And then some other changes. So it's going to have far-reaching effects on what we buy. Maybe it'll provide more vehicle choice, maybe less, depending on how you look at it. Your take on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, either way, whether we get more vehicles or not, this kind of does put the U.S. behind the gun, even further from China, on some of these technological developments. If we're not focusing on the electrification, you know, the other countries will kind of catch up and overtake us. But if that's not what people are buying, I guess, you know, you can't force people. Well, they don't want to force people to buy electric cars if they don't want them. So only time will tell. I guess everybody's kind of waiting right now to see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have a little bit different take on that. I don't know that electric vehicles are necessarily more high-tech or really where the industry is going overall, where the global industry is going to go. I think maybe there's going to be some revisionist look at what's going on in terms of using fossil fuels and continuing to use fossil fuels. Actually, China uses fossil fuels to generate electricity and then runs electric cars. So you've got that going on. What we've seen is electric vehicles account for about 8%, 8.1% of new vehicle sales. They did last year. That was up from 7.9% the previous year. So it's a substantial portion of the industry, but it's certainly not a giant portion of the industry. And we saw, and you and your household saw, the effects of incentives for electric vehicles. You tell me, but my guess is you probably wouldn't have got the Honda Prologue that you bought or leased without those incentives.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's kind of the next step. You mentioned that, you know, the administration can't do that unilaterally. They can't cut the tax credit as part of the of legislation unilaterally, but you know, automakers are losing billions. I think Ford's going to report something like a $5 billion loss, or has reported a $5 billion loss on EVs in 2024. That's with the incentives on board. So, you know, propping up such a, I don't want to say flailing, because, you know, they're able to support some of these things. But it does not make sense, I think, to continue with some of the tax credits and the incentives there. But yes, you're correct. We would not have bought the vehicle without them.
Yeah, interesting. And you know, I like electric vehicles. I think you like electric vehicles. I'd love to see them play on a level playing field with other vehicles and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I mean, that's what happened in, you know, 1910 to 1920, and maybe it should happen again. So it will be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Ford is, you mentioned Ford Motor Company, and they've kind of slowed down their electric vehicle efforts pretty significantly. You know, I frankly don't know, and maybe you got an opinion on this, Chris, whether American auto workers are going to cheer this or just be against the big changes. And I guess maybe it depends on, you know, what they build in the plants they're working in, right?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say it really depends on what direction they end up having to go. But, you know, automakers have spent billions of dollars on these factories and battery development facilities and all these things. And so electric vehicles are the American auto industry in a large part now, even if they're not, even if they're only 8% of the overall market, there are a lot of resources behind them here. So I hope if these things shift in the other direction that the auto workers are able to find a place building gas vehicles or hybrid or whatever, you know, ends up coming down the line.
Yeah, I think we're still going to have more and more vehicles, and, you know, this might unleash the purchase of more vehicles, because frankly, every portion of the industry, every car maker has been subsidizing its electric vehicle sales to a greater or lesser extent, with the exception of Tesla, which, of course, is all electric all the time. The other startups in the electric vehicle industry are all losing money, so they're just pouring money into that. There's a lot of money has been poured into the electric vehicle sector, and the return on investment is not particularly good for most of the companies involved in it right now.
Yeah, you know, I think, unfortunately, we're kind of moving away from some of the environmental focuses in this, and we turn it all into a financial aspect. But, you know, I think there's room for debate, I think, on the financial side. I don't know that we can really debate much on the emission side, despite the fact that producing electric vehicles is still not as clean as a lot of people would like.
You know, I think we could even debate on the emission side, but I don't think we're going to do that right now. Because there's a giant rabbit hole about carbon dioxide and what its effects are and what its effects aren't. But let's talk about some stuff that's a little more tangible. One of the things that's pretty tangible is the fact that Chevrolet has recalled 3,000 of its Equinox EVs recently introduced into the marketplace. They've had a problem with the adaptive cruise control system. And, you know, this is, again, another, you know, minor black mark against. This was one of the affordable EVs touted in the marketplace. I think it's a good vehicle. I think there's a lot to like about it. I mean, it must be difficult for General Motors to recall this very affordable EV just when the market seems crying out for affordable EVs. Right, Chris?
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, they've had trouble getting the Blazer EV out the door, and this vehicle, though it wasn't really delayed that much, is one of their more important models, because it is one of the ones that got close to that, you know, affordable, mythical affordable price point.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the fires out here. Happily, it didn't come near my house, but so many people devastated by that. And one of the things that's devastated is the collector car hobby. I mean, Southern California is the happy hunting ground for a lot of collector cars, right? For special interest cars and those kind of things. I mean, you just see things like, you know, 1948 Woodies driving around and 56 Chevys and stuff like that all the time, among other things. So beyond the billions and literally like $30 or $40 billion in overall losses, we probably lost something like 6,000 vehicles in the fire. I mean, this according to press reports, I think press report from Bloomberg here. Many of these vehicles, or many vehicles, are special interest vehicles. This is a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of really rough takes on the internet about, you know, how insurance will make everything right. And that may be the case financially, but as you mentioned, these vehicles, a lot of them that are lost, there was only one of them. There were only, you know, maybe one or two of some of these vehicles. And as an enthusiast or as somebody who appreciates cars, it's a loss across the board, you know, whether it was money or a car or whatever, it's a loss of art and the engineering, like you said, that we won't see these things again.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, air-cooled Porsches go up in flames. Like I mentioned, a lot of special interest American cars, domestic cars from the 60s and 50s. It's been a major, major loss. And, of course, there's loss of life. So that is the most important thing, and then loss of treasure. But the loss of these cars, pretty sad for all of us. So sorry to see that. But we'll get past it, despite the fact that none of those cars that are burned are coming back. Well, we'll do some road testing when we come back. Some pretty cool cars, actually sport utilities. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free.
Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
It's actually Sport Utilities, so stay with us. We'll be right back right here. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jackie Red back with you. And I can't tell you how much we're happy to have Chris back with us after a couple of weeks of illness. It's always great to talk with him about cars across country as we do on America on the Road. We also are so glad to have you as our listener. Thanks so much for listening to America on the Road. We appreciate it. And those of you who are viewing us on YouTube or Rumble, welcome to our abodes. Welcome to our home studios. Glad to have you with us. Chris, a fun vehicle that you had to test this week. I'm sorry you had to test it, with some illness in the family, but tell us about it.
Yeah, a little bit of flu won't keep me out of an AMG, and that was what I had this week, was the Mercedes-AMG GLC 43. This is a 2025 model. Jack, this is the GLC is sort of their mid-range SUV. It's like the C-Class of their SUV world. And you can get it in the standard form, and you can get it in GLC 43 form, which has a turbocharged four-cylinder. And then you can get it with the 63 SE performance, which uses the four-cylinder and then electric turbochargers and some really fancy Formula One technology for a very steep price. But before I go too far, Jack, have you driven any of the GLC variants?
I have, and they're super likable vehicles. I just like them a lot. I think they're a lot of fun.
They are. They're kind of a good sweet spot in the middle of the Mercedes SUV lineup. But the base GLC 43 starts at around $68,000. And just to show you how far you can go with a single trim of this vehicle, my test car came in at around $82,000, if I can talk. So that's $14,000 in options and things like leather upholstery and driver's assistance packages and a custom steering wheel and ventilated and massaging seats. So you can really go as far as you want with these cars, and the sky is kind of the limit with the options. But the turbocharged 2.0-liter four-cylinder engine makes 416 horsepower, 369 pound-feet of torque for a 4.7-second 0-60 time, Jack. I got to tell you, in a family SUV, I mean, it's a five-seater, it's not a three-row, but sub-5-second 0-60 time in a family SUV is quite impressive to me. The 9-speed dual-clutch transmission is lightning fast when you're at speed. However, I will say it's a little jerky around town. In fact, it's one of the jerkier dual-clutch units that I've experienced, and I had a conversation with a passenger. We both felt that the standard ZF automatic transmission that's in like the X3 M40i, the BMW X3, is a little bit smoother and easier to live with. But I got to tell you, when you're in sport mode, sport plus mode, and you have your foot down on the floor, the shifts, you get a good crackle in between them, and it really does accentuate the four-cylinder engine. And you really don't miss anything from the sound, too, because it sounds great from that. So I will say, Jack, and I want to get your opinion on this, the GLC 43 and the GLC 63, they both handle fantastically. I think the ride quality is a little bit stiff for something I'd want to live with every day. What do you think about that from like a livability standpoint?
Yeah, I think it's maybe not as super performance-oriented as old AMG models, which really beats you up. But at the same time, I'd probably opt for something from a comfort standpoint as a more conventional non-AMG version of this vehicle.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the price difference between the two is so strong that you can get away with some extra features in the standard model and still come out way cheaper than an AMG. But inside, you get five seats, as I said before. Synthetic leather comes standard. My vehicle had the Napa leather package, as I mentioned earlier, with heating and ventilation. And you can also get massaging features for these seats. The front buckets, I really enjoyed the space in the front seats of this vehicle. They're wide. They're really nicely padded. And they have good support around the bolstering and the hips and the around the back. And despite that, they're still very comfortable. You know, sometimes you get in these really heavy performance-oriented seats. And for somebody of my size, they could feel a little constricting. But these were just fine, and there's plenty of room up front. And I like how all the controls and the buttons and everything are oriented towards the driver. So you don't have to take your hands off the wheel for extended periods or look around to try to find a button or a control. the back seat, you can fit three people back there. We tried it. I think two people will be much more comfortable, especially on longer trips. That said, there is good leg room. And since it's a five-seater instead of a seven-seater, you got a good cargo space in the back. And also, this vehicle comes with had the optional safety tech package, which had blind spot monitoring and the whole deal. Jack, so at over $81,000, almost $82,000, this is a little too rich for my blood. I think even though I enjoy the performance, $68K is still too much to pay for an SUV for me. I would opt, as we talked about earlier, for the standard GLC, which you still get a lot of the great features and the styling and everything, just with a much tamer engine and powertrain. You get better fuel economy, though.
Yeah, better fuel economy, and I think all-around drivability is just great. So, I mean, even in normal form, the GLC is a bit pricey versus some other things we're going to see. But, yes. You know, it does have that three-pointed star right there in the grill. So you get a lot of
that. That's what you're paying for.
Exactly. One of the things you're paying for, too. Well, I'm not sure that Mazda needed another vehicle in its lineup, but it's got one. You know, I'm always amazed at the variety you get from Mazda. And, of course, we love Mazda. And, you know, years and years and years ago, decades ago, I actually worked for Mazda. So I have a soft spot in my heart for Mazda vehicles. But I also love the way they drive. I guess I joined the company because I love the way they drive. I left Motor Trend and went directly to work for Mazda in the original Miata days. They now have the CX-70, which is kind of the two-row version of its CX-90 midsize SUV, one that we've liked a lot. Of course, it competes with the other midsizes out there, the Jeep Grand Cherokee among them, but there's certainly plenty of them. Five-passenger vehicle in this case. And I think there's a lot to like about just a dedicated five-passenger vehicle in this case. They're not shoehorning in a third row, and that gives you this vast. I mean, I picked some people up at the airport in this thing, and they were blown away by the amount of luggage space there, which was good because I was picking up three women at the airport, including my wife. Actually, four women. Including my wife. So that's a lot of luggage to pick up at the airport, but you handled it well. The basic model comes with a 3.3-liter 6 that makes 280 horsepower, 340 horsepower in S trims, which I liked. Very powerful vehicle. Pretty good fuel economy, too. Let me talk to you a bit about, rather than just the line, the test vehicle I had, because I had the CX-70 PHEV, which means it was a plug-in hybrid, the Premium Plus. So this is top of the line. But in typical Mazda fashion, it had a great interior, Napa leather interior, and it had the 2.5-liter powertrain with 323 horsepower. I think if you're using premium fuel, you can goose it up to more like 340 horsepower, something like that. 8-speed automatic transmission, all-wheel drive. Your overall take on CX-70, CX-90, and what's going on there?
Yeah, it is a little funky to have two SUVs positioned so similar, so close to each other in the lineup. But as you mentioned, the CX-70, you know, if you don't need the third row seat, which can be kind of a compromised space anyway, you get the extra cargo space. And, you know, it's a cavernous space. I just picked up the vehicle this week to test, and I was impressed by the space that I looked at earlier. But, yeah, I think that, you know, now that I think about it a little bit more, I've had time to marinate on it. I think the CX-70 has a place, but they are still very close.
Yeah. It's a good-looking vehicle. The vehicle I had 21-inch alloy wheels, nice paint. Mazda seems to do a particularly good job with paint. It had a power panoramic moonroof for an open air experience, although that's something pretty much lost on me. I never look up. I don't, you know, get much out of moonroofs, but maybe you do, Chris.
My Corolla doesn't have one, so I'm used to driving without one.
Yeah, to me, I look forward, not up, but a lot of great interior stuff. Then there is the infotainment system, and I just hate to slam Mazda again on infotainment system. It has a nice size display, 10.25 inches. That's a 10.25 inches in English, I guess. Wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. I had some issues, though. I mean, this is a vehicle that doesn't have a touchscreen, but it does have touchscreen operation when you are in Apple CarPlay or Android Auto mode, but I had some trouble getting the touchscreen to even operate in that mode. I don't know whether I have just very cold hands or, you know, I don't know what happened there, but kind of odd, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, it is not the best touchscreen configuration, and the positioning of the screen is too far away, so you find yourself leaning forward and trying to tap at a screen that doesn't really want to respond. So
yeah,
I think that it needs some work.
I think that's one of the reasons they don't make it a touchscreen, and I, you know, started to use the controller and got used to that, so that worked out fine. And I think if you had this vehicle over time, that's what you would end up doing in a lot of cases. Mazda fills its vehicles with all kinds of advanced driver assistance systems. This had Mazda cruise control, adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitor, rear cross traffic alert, lane keeping assist, all kinds of stuff. I mean, they really pile on the electronic driving aids, and I think that's a good thing too, right?
They do, and they do a good job integrating it with the interior of the vehicle, so nothing's like shocking or out of place when they do alert you to stuff.
Right. In the form I had it, this vehicle was close to $60,000. Which is maybe a lot for a Mazda midsize, but I guess in comparison to the Mercedes GLC, GLC, a veritable bargain, because a lot of technology. And of course, I had the this was a plug-in hybrid. I did plug in the vehicle and get some use out of it. I also probably figured I wouldn't do that very much in real life. Because it just seemed to get another 20 miles of electric power, it seemed like kind of a hassle. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lazy because I don't have weather to deal with. But quick take on that, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone. I think there are a lot of stories and data coming out around people who own plug-in hybrids who never plug them in. And at that point, you're just lugging around a giant heavy battery and all the other powertrain components with no fuel efficiency benefits.
Yeah. Which isn't the best thing in the world. Well, when we come back, we will have a terrific guest. Matt McAleer is brand CEO for Dodge. Of course, a lot going on with Dodge. And Dodge has to deal with what's coming coming down the road as it's introducing electric vehicles. So we'll talk with him a little bit about that. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Flex Premium Athleisure is softness that plays hard. From the couch to the gym to the office and beyond, Flex gives you premium comfort and style that keeps up with anything without costing everything. Whether you're chasing the ball or chasing the kids, life's a workout. Flex with it. Exclusively at Kohl's. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Closing Speed by Ted West. Look for it. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you at the Los Angeles Auto Show with a special guest. Matt McAleer is with Dodge, kind of a big shooter at Dodge, right? I mean, not just at Dodge, but you are the guy at
Yes,
Dodge.
I got the CEO title in June 1st when Tim Kaniskis retired.
Yeah, well, very exciting. And oh, what a brand, right? The Dodge Brothers, I mean, it goes way, way back. I mean, what was your first thought as you took over the brand? Well, you know, what came to mind?
Well, that's a good point. The brand's 110 years old this year. And, you know, it's probably the single biggest change in the brand's history, if not the second biggest change. Maybe the first was when we separated Ram off. This year, we are going through a true, some would say evolutionary, some would say revolutionary. I would say evolutionary in the design of our muscle cars. A lot of them are, you know, as you see the one behind us.
I do.
Is iconic.
Everybody's seeing the one behind us.
Looks
apparently.
Like the 1968 yeah. Charger. Very yeah. evolutionary. But this is the first battery electric vehicle for the brand. So we're changing directions with our powertrain, our propulsion system, staying true to our core center DNA of who we are and what got us here. Bad, brash, unapologetic muscle car design, muscle car performance, but new powertrains.
Yeah. And so you're not backing away from that. I mean, that is the brand that... people expect, that's what yeah. people expect out of Dodge, right? And you're just kind of amping that up in a different way, right?
We are. You know, we've made a living the last 10 years of continuing to push the boundaries. You know, we had the 6.4 V8, and then we brought out the supercharged 6.2, and then we brought out the high output red eye version of the 6.2, and then we had the Demons. We kept finding ways to push the needle. People wanted to go quicker, wanted to go faster. So we're taking that to the next level. And we're using battery electric technology to get there. But we're not all in on, everyone says, well, you're going EV. Yes, but not 100% EV. We still have 2 6-pack powertrains coming in the second half of next year, 426 horsepower, 550 horsepower ICE engines, which are gonna be phenomenal and outperform the engines they replace. So we're gonna continue at every trim level to go faster, quicker, and have more fun doing it.
Like, how fast can you go? I often wonder that. I mean, when I got in this business, you know, 0 to 60s under 8 seconds were pretty darn fast, you know, and now it's like your average sedan is doing that, or average SUV is doing something like that, and some are doing, you know, 4.2s,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. At some point, you can't go any faster, right? I mean, you vaporize, but tell us about that.
Well, you know, the car behind us does 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds. And for those that follow our lineup, this is the Scat Pack with the Stage 2 kit. And if you look at the lineup that this replaces, the old Charger and Challenger, this Scat Pack outperforms the old Hellcat Red Eye, which did 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. So you're right. You know, can we continue to go faster in every aspect? Always? No. But I think that's just one part of what makes a muscle car what it is. And, you know, a lot of it's design. A lot of it is the way it makes you feel when you're driving. It's the big proportions. It's the boldness of the color palette and the wheels. But it's also the sound, and that's one thing that we're not giving up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, tell us about that. Well, anticipate my question.
Yes, you know, a muscle car is all about touching all the senses. And for me, as you said, EVs inherently, by nature, are very quick. They're a lot of fun to drive. But there's something about it when you hit the gas and your body is so used to, you know, audibly hearing something, connecting you to the road, connecting you to the steering wheel. EVs, by nature, don't have that. So we went out and we said, if we're going to bring a better muscle car to market, it has to look like a Dodge, feel like a Dodge, drive like a Dodge, but most importantly, sound like a Dodge. We couldn't just synthesize the Hellcat, just pipe in V8 and be done with it. That would have been sacrilegious. The fans never would have, the Brotherhood would have shot us from the beginning. So we went out and we developed the Fratsonic chambered exhaust. And it is an external speaker system, let's be honest, I'm not going to hide behind it. But it's a speaker system that externally and internally that adapts to the loads and the throttle input. So when you hit that gas, I mean, there's something connecting. You feel that and it puts a smile on your face. But while reaching Hellcat decibel levels, so you can be as loud as you want when you want to, now you have the ability to to tone it down.
Right.
And you can
sneak in the garage when
you
want.
Sneak in the garage. You can sneak into work. You can not get the neighbors mad at you. But you can also, you know, adapt it to their different driving styles, which is fun. I mean, I have found that when I'm going to work and I'm taking a phone call, maybe I don't want it as loud. When my sons are in the car and we're having fun, absolutely turn it all the way up. After I'm going on a road trip up north for a couple hours, you know, I just want it to cruise. So this car adapts with your driving characteristics, and it's a blast. It's just fun.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. You know, I feel like I'm an analog guy. I grew up in an analog universe, and I feel that way, right? I like buttons and knobs.
Right.
I like all that kind of stuff. But I'm not the typical person. I'm certainly not the typical Dodge buyer now, because I'm a lot older than that. And there are those who basically are digital people. I mean, they have grown up playing video games. That's what they know. They know screens. They know that kind of thing. And I think probably that's your future, right? I mean, talk about that.
Well, I think in a lot of ways it is. We do have the youngest demographic in the mainstream segment. But I think this vehicle is unique in the iconic design and how it brings a lot of historical nods, but futuristic adaptations as well. So I think this is going to do fantastic. My dad sees a 68 Charger when he looks at this. My sons and all his friends in the high school parking lot, they think it's just the coolest thing out there.
Right.
It can appeal to multi-generations. And there's something that when you get in the cockpit, it doesn't feel like most EVs on the street today. Yeah. This is not an EV first, let's be honest. This is a muscle car first, and it has both gas engines and BEV engines, but it was designed as a Charger. The propulsion just happens to include BEV.
Right. Were you born in 1968?
I was 1977.
Ah, okay. That's what I figured.
I grew up watching the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay. So you've got that in you. Well, I was around when these cars were introduced, and it's what got me excited about cars, in my teenage years, as the whole muscle car era. And this really is the, I guess, golden age of muscle cars, isn't it? And what you're talking about is the platinum age, I guess.
I mean,
even beyond that. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I tell a lot of people, we're just getting started. It took us 10 years to get to where we were, and we didn't start out with Hellcats and Demons. And just because we're launching with what's behind us doesn't mean we're done. We're going to continue to evolve and continue to bring out, different powertrains, different adaptations. This is just a start. This is a phenomenal platform, the Stellantis large platform. It's a multi-energy platform. We didn't go all in one technology.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't say we're 100% BEV or 100% ICE. We built a platform, and the engineers developed a great platform that can adapt with regulatory changes, with consumer demand, with demand that shifts at different parts or different times across the country. I mean, let's be honest, the coasts and maybe even the upper Midwest will probably adopt some EV technology before the plains. It's just the nature of the country.
Yeah, and the nature of what people need in those particular areas, right? I mean, that makes sense. One of my favorite vehicles over the last few years has been the Dodge Durango SRT, right? I mean, I just love that vehicle for so many reasons. And where is that guy? Is there a future for that type of vehicle within your brand?
Yeah, so I mean, specifically, the Durango is not going away in the near future. We continue to have, for the 25 model year, the SRT Hellcat, as well as the RT with the 5.7 Hemi V8. It is still a phenomenal product that fits a unique buyer. It cross-shops with UVs much larger than it is for its towing capability and its performance capability. But people love the style. They love the design. They love the little bit more nimbleness of the drive and the ability to park it and maneuver it easier than some of the larger SUVs. But SRT as a brand is not going away. This is the Scat Pack that we're launching now. We've already said there will be an SRT version coming of the Charger, which we're excited to launch, and we'll continue to find ways to evolve SRT, as it will always be the epitome of performance for Dodge.
Yeah. I mean, most of the American market now, I think it's something like 80%, are either trucks or SUVs, right? Where does that leave Dodge that kind of still is a sedan coupe oriented brand?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the opportunities for this car behind us. The vehicles that they're replacing, we did have all-wheel drive, but that was on the V6 powertrains. We did not have all-wheel drive on the high performance, high horsepower powertrains. This vehicle is standard all-wheel drive, has a hidden hatch design with terrific cargo capability in the back. So you have UV-like capability from all-wheel drive and cargo carrying with a stunning good looks of a muscle car. Mm-hmm. So I think this bridges a gap. This is going to open us up to not only geography, with some of the northern climates that maybe in the past have only had a muscle car for a daily driver certain months of the year. Now this can be a daily driver in addition to if they have a truck or an SUV in the driveway, all year round.
Yeah. What is a battery electric performance driver? What are their psychographics or demographics versus the tried and true muscle car guy who loves the big V8 engine and Hemis and et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, they're converging. We're going through an adoption across the industry. But one of the things that I love about our customer base is we have the youngest demographic in the mainstream segments. And what that allows is they have the highest propensity to be willing to adopt or drive electrification. A lot of these vehicles, you just have to get in. You just have to experience them. It's easy to discount them before you drive them. And then it's like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. One of the things we're excited, when we have the ICE powertrains, those will be the entry level. So when you come into the dealership and you're like, hey, I'm here, I want a charger. Okay, well, I think I want the gas. But, well, do you want, how fast do you want to go? Do you want the best performing charger?
Right, yeah.
Well, of course I do. Everybody wants the best performing, right?
Sure.
Well, let's go for a test drive. Let's experience that product. We use the gas engines to set a baseline of showing what battery technology can do. And this car behind us has 305s in the front, 325s in the rear. As we said, it was absolutely not designed for mileage first and being a battery electric vehicle first. It was designed as a muscle car first, and what's the powertrain that's gonna give us the best performance?
Sounds great. Well, Matt McAleer, thanks so much for telling us all about Dodge. It seems like a very bright future. I'm so happy to hear that.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I knew the Dodge brothers personally.
So. And that was our interview with Matt McAleer, who is CEO of Dodge. A lot going on, of course, with Dodge as they transition from being a muscle car brand powered by gasoline to adding some electric muscle cars to their portfolio. So kind of interesting stuff. What's your take on what's going to happen with Dodge going forward, Chris?
Yeah, the first Charger Daytona EVs are just starting to hit dealers' lots, and we're already starting to hear that they're going to bring back some gas power for the car in the future. I think for Dodge, the balance probably lies somewhere in between those two, right? I mean, I think, the brand has built such a strong muscle car image with gas engines and the V8 and the supercharged Hellcat motor that it's going to be difficult for them to completely remove themselves from that, but I'm excited to see where they end up landing.
Yeah, this new Charger Daytona has a platform that can accept and will accept gasoline engines. That was part of the plan from the beginning. So maybe going slow on EVs was a good plan for Dodge. We'll have to see going forward, but they might be cheering what's happening in terms of regulations versus some of the other brands who are much more oriented toward trying to move forward with electric vehicles. We'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, I like Dodge. We've talked about it a bunch of times. I think that, a lot of Stellantis brands are kind of seeing some bumpy roads right now, but I'm pulling for all of them.
Yeah, very true. And this is not book chat, but we're going to talk about cars here pretty soon. But I also have a new book, Dance in the Dark. It's now available as a paperback and Kindle edition. It's on Amazon, of course. It's a suspense thriller, and it's a follow-up to my true crime book, Fatal Photograph. So you might want to have a look at that. And when we come back, we will have a listener question. And I think it's a good one. It's a pretty straightforward question, I think, apropos to the winter. A lot of people are dealing with batteries in very cold weather where batteries don't function all that wonderfully well. But this is from Sunny in Joliet, Illinois, not far from where I grew up, actually. Chris will help answer that. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jackie Redd back with you for listener question time. We love to get your questions and comments, so please send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. This is from Sunny in Joliet, Illinois, not far from where I grew up, actually. And Sunny asks this, how can I tell if my car needs a new battery or just a charge? What's your take on that, Chris?
Well, I am going to preface this by saying, Jack, that I am not a mechanic, but my knowledge of batteries is pretty extensive, having owned so many cars over the years. I think if your battery is, you know, five plus years old, and you're starting to notice that, you know, your car is turning over slowly, your headlights are dimming, or other issues are popping up, it might be time to get a new battery then, because batteries have a shelf life. They, after 3 or 4 years, you kind of start thinking about replacing them. If you're under that mark, yeah, you know, you can definitely jump your battery or charge your battery to start it. But I think if you're doing that repeatedly, it would be cause to look at other things in the vehicle that could be draining the power. Maybe your car has some part of the stereo that's staying on when it turns off, or some sensor is fried that's causing those issues. But I think if you have a young battery, so to speak, you know, charging is probably the way to go. But once you get up in age, it's time to start thinking about a replacement.
Yeah, I think 3 years is probably pushing it. And if you get to 4, you're doing really well and probably need a new battery at that point. And it's something you can't test at home, but certainly a qualified mechanic can let you know about that. That essentially wraps up our show this week. I want to mention that through the end of this month, Dance in the Dark, my crime novel, is on sale at Amazon for just $0.99. Just a dollar. A simple dollar will get you more suspense than you can stand, so look for that. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And of course, we're available in a lot of other places too, right, Chris?
That's right. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple, Spotify, all the rest. Like us, download us, leave us a review. All of those things help us out, and you can bring us with you wherever you go.
We would love that to happen. We would love to be pretty much wherever you go. Maybe with a few exceptions. Thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. We really do appreciate the fact that you're with us. We know you have a lot of things to choose from in terms of listening, so we're honored by the fact you're with us on America on the Road. And we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.